This podcast is sponsored by Active Skin Repair, a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. Okay, guys, I am probably one of the most accident-prone people on the planet. You can blame it on many things, bad luck, poor spatial perception, but it all results in the same thing. Bree can injure herself literally anywhere, anytime. Take, for instance, last week, I was plucking my eyebrows, people, and I stabbed myself in the hand. Next thing I know, I am bleeding everywhere going, what the heck just happened? But luckily for me, I had some Active Skin Repair on hand, just one spray, and it felt so much better. By the next day, it was not red, not sore. It was fantastic. I love this stuff. Active Skin Repair can be used to treat a wide range of skin issues, and since it's all natural, non-toxic, it's perfect for people like me with sensitive skin. It works by utilizing hydrochloric acid, which mimics a natural immune response to cleanse, soothe irritation, reduce inflammation, and support the healing. With over 500,000 happy customers, thousands of five-star reviews, and ingredients that are so safe and clean that it can be used from the youngest member of your family all the way up to the oldest, most accident prone like me, you can have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. So visit www.activeskincarerepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order by using the code NOGUILT. That's www.activeskinrepair.com. Use the code NOGUILT to get 20% off your order. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your co-host, Bree Tucker, and I am here today to introduce you guys to one of our favorite episodes from 2023. We are going to be doing an encore presentation of our episode, Do You Parent Through Fear? Now, this was one that had an amazing response from our listeners because we kind of talk a lot about anxiety and how that controls what we do in our parenting so often. What are those common signs giving us the clue that, whoa, we might be letting our anxiety and fear dictate how we're doing our parenting? And of course, in no guilt mom fashion, we will wrap this all up with three things that you can do to stop parenting through fear and to start parenting with confidence. So without further ado, on with the show.
Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast. I am your host, Joanne Crone, joined by my co-host, Bree Tucker.
Why, hello, hello, buddy. How are you? I just hit the mic too when I did that.
And this is definitely going to be one that you need to watch on YouTube because Bree has the pen. She's a pen mustache. It's like mustachio. Yeah, we have to do something else to not focus on our fear. Because we're talking today about parenting through fear.
Yes. And actually, we were talking recently. So we, of course, always record these a little bit in advance. There was an article going around recently about a Tesla that crashed over a cliff in California.
Yes. And my dad sent me this article this morning because I just got a Tesla. Three or four months ago. And I'm sure he was like, look at this, this could happen.
Well, okay. So like, that was my point. So this article noted that the Tesla went over the cliff, like Devil's Slide in California, and that all the people survived, thank God. But I was saying to you that I thought it was really weird that they kept focusing on it being a Tesla. Like, if it was a Hyundai, you wouldn't hear like a Hyundai goes over a cliff in California. You'd be like, a car went over a cliff. But they kept focusing on the fact it was a Tesla.
Well, here's the thing about Teslas, and my family's very anxiety prone. So, of course, as soon as I got a Tesla, my sister's like, Joanne, those cars kill people. They take control. And they go, I'm like, no, they don't. They don't do that. He's like, anytime Elon Musk can put some software in there and have your car run off the road. I'm like, no.
Okay, no. That's going back to the whole like iRobot movie theme and that robots will take over. But no. Okay, so that is interesting, though, because I was telling you off the mic that I thought that it was weird they were saying Tesla because I felt like they were doing one of two things, they being the media. They were either trying to freak people out, like you just said, that Teslas are going to kill you in self-driving mode.
Or, which I totally believe was the angle, knowing media. Yeah,
because all the people survived, they were like, look how safe a Tesla is. They careened 250 feet down into the rocks and everybody still survived.
Yeah,
injured, but survived. So yeah, I thought that was, and then now here we are 2 days later and a recent article came out that it had nothing to do with the fact that it was a Tesla or self-driving mode, that it was the driver, but
which is sad.
It's interesting. It's all about that fear.
It is. It is all about the fear. Fear in the media, of course, sells. I mean, I was a broadcast journalism major, and all of my professors warned us about this maxim they say in newsrooms, where if it bleeds, it leads, which means if it's bloody, then it's the first story, because that's what attracts everybody to your newscast. And of course, like, my professors were, that's horrible. I can't believe they do that. But it was something to be prepared for when you go out into the working world, to know this happens. So the fear is a huge part. I think fear is just a huge part of all of our lives. It's one of the reasons, like, I don't watch any news anymore, because they're playing on everybody's fears for ratings, because that's how they get paid. That's how the money comes in.
News can just in general be very overwhelming. Like, it just, especially as a parent, because you think back, and they talk about this too, about how it feels like everybody is getting kidnapped and hurt these days, and like, none of that crap happened when we were kids, but apparently it did. We just didn't know about it because we weren't connected all the time like we are now. So it's just, it's scary as a parent, because anywhere you turn in the news, you're going to find an article about something of your worst fear that could happen to your own kids. And it makes it so hard not to have those thoughts racing through your head when you are coming up with rules and or choosing how to discipline your child, right?
Totally.
Because as far as I'm concerned, my kids are constantly going to be kidnapped and taken into sex trafficking or run over on the road, like, whatever. It's going to happen. It's going to happen, because it's in the media and I hear it all the time.
So. It's usually a lot less prevalent, though, than the media makes it seem. Like, they take like one situation out of a million. And when you see that one situation, you're like, oh my gosh, this is happening everywhere. When, you know, it is one situation, and it is good to be aware of those things and just be aware of surroundings, of course, if you're out with kids. But to know that it's very, very rare that these things happen, and to also know if your parenting is affected by it. And that's what we are going to talk about today. Hope you enjoy this episode of the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
You want mom life to be easier. That's our goal too. Our mission is to raise more self-sufficient and independent kids, and we're going to have fun doing it. We're going to help you delegate and step back. Each episode, we'll tackle strategies for positive discipline, making our kids more responsible, and making our lives better in the process. Welcome to the No Guilt Mom Podcast.
Okay, so let's just be honest. Honestly, everybody out there in podcast land, I want you to nod your head, raise your hands. Who has ever had a rule or had a reaction to something your kids did that was fully run by, oh my God, XYZ is going to happen to my kids. Like, and it was like a really bad XYZ. Like, my kid's going to get run over. My kid's going to get kidnapped. My kid's going to swallow a magnet and it's going to tie up their intestines and they're going to die. Like, whatever it is, right?
All those things go through my head all the time. All the time. Even my son is 9 now and he really likes to bike around the neighborhood, but it really took me a long time to let him do that, because I was like, oh my gosh, what if he gets hit by a car in the neighborhood? What if somebody kidnaps him in the neighborhood? Everything goes through my head. And then the only thing that makes me let him do it is I think back and I'm like, okay, I wanted to do these things at his age. And then I have to repeat to myself, it is very improbable that things will happen. And I just let him know to be aware, and he knows to be aware. And then I give him time limits. I'm like, not time limits, but I just ask him, I'm like, okay, like, how long are you going to be? What time should I look at the clock? And that's when I'll start worrying. And he's like, 30 minutes. I'm like, cool. And he's been back before those 30 minutes. So I haven't had to worry at all.
You've been able to keep that one in check.
I've been able to keep it in check, but it's difficult. There's so many fears as a parent.
Right. And I think that if we really take a little step back here, these fears, it's a fear about what, like you just said, what could happen versus what's mm-hmm. What is likely to actually happen. And it causes us to be that helicopter parent, which I find hilarious, because I've talked to my parents about that before. They're like, helicopter parenting was not a thing. Never heard that term before until, you know, your oldest sister started to have kids that it kind of became a big thing. And now you say helicopter parenting and everybody knows what you're talking about. And we all know that you don't want to be a helicopter parent because the helicopter parent, the one that is like always like hovering over everything, trying to constantly keep an eye and to control all situations, and not in a bad way. They're trying to control situations because they love their kids and they don't want them to get hurt. But when you're doing that, it causes so much stress because then everything is on your shoulders. You are literally taking everything on.
And I think there was a shift actually where everything seems to be the mom's fault. Like if a kid is bad, they always go to the mom. They don't go to the dad. They go to the mom.
Well, because dad just has to show up and he's a good dad.
Exactly.
I love dads, but let's just be honest. That kind of is how the rule goes.
There is a very standard. Moms compare themselves to having a completely organized house with well-behaved kids. That's the ideal that you see on TV shows or on movies. And then dads, they're like, well, I'm not a deadbeat dad. I'm doing pretty good. So it's a lower standard. It's funny because I'm reading this one book. It's by Stacey Willingham. It's called All the Dangerous Things. I read thrillers, but... And you're going to laugh that I'm actually reading this thriller. I don't know why I do this to myself. This one is about a woman whose toddler son was kidnapped in the middle of the night. And it comes into the story a year later where there's still no information, no clues about him. And it's a totally cold case. But what's interesting is that she's going around and she's going to these true crime conferences to keep the cold case alive. So she's telling her story, and the way she's getting paid is they're giving her the list of all the attendees because she's trying to hunt down who might have taken him, because for some reason, people who commit the crime are more likely to come to these things and relive it.
Wow.
But yeah, it's intense so far. The only reason I'm still reading is because there's something else going on here. Like, you know, there's something else going on.
Yeah.
Because they went back to her example of, as a kid, she's a sleepwalker. And so I'm like, they wouldn't mention she's a sleepwalker if it didn't have something to do with the story. I'm on to you, thrillers. I know what's going on. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hey, all. It is Joanne.
And Brie here.
And we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called Understood Explained. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Uturbe, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs.
And in this latest season of Understood Explained, it covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. We actually just listened to the episode, IEPs, Does My Child Need an IEP? And here is what we loved about it.
I loved that it was so digestible. Like, it was such a short episode, and all of the topics, which could be really confusing to parents, were easily explained.
And I loved how they gave great concrete examples, because you know how much I love me a good example. They explained what kind of services and supports you could actually see on a child's IEP or individual education plan. And they explained those acronyms. That nothing drives me more crazy than when there's acronyms and I don't get it. I don't know what it stands for. They took the time to explain everything in so much detail and to cover concerns that a lot of families have about special ed services.
To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains, or just click on the link in our show notes.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. And each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
But the point is, she makes it very, very clear in the story that everyone always looks to her and is uncomfortable around her and blames the mom. When they look and they're like, oh, it's not that my son just disappeared. It's like, what did you do wrong that made your son disappear? Why right. didn't you have this like baby monitor in his room? Why didn't you check that window before he went to sleep? And not asking the same things of dads. So I think moms have an additional pressure. And that's why parenting through fear and knowing that you're doing it is so important.
Right, right. It is. Because honestly, when it comes to the whole parenting through fear, there's two things of it. First of all, you have to be able to recognize that that's what you're doing, that you are parenting in a way through fear and anxiety. And then once you can recognize it, then you can start working on it. Like your example you had with your son with the bike riding, like you realize that that fear is, or that those fears, that those things are definitely going to happen to him, are a little bit bigger in your head than probably in real life statistics, right? There's a song. Have you ever heard the song by Bare Naked Ladies? It's a song about like the probability of like dying. And they have like the whole song is about
Really, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's this, all these weird ways you could die, but more than likely, like you're going to have a good day or something like that. Like these things won't actually happen to you. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, it's looking at the probability of things happening. Or like you went back to the establishing of rules, because we were recently at a gathering and a close friend was, oh my gosh, like I don't let my son say hi to anyone. And we're all like, what? This is so weird. We just didn't know what to say. We were just here, and come find out months later that this close friend has this overwhelming anxiety that her son is going to get kidnapped and taken away from her. And so if she can prevent him from engaging with people, because she's always been told, oh, you know, it's always the women get mugged who say hi to like these strange men on their roots. What? I know there's all these things. There's all these things and stuff that are like drilled into, especially women from a young age, that aren't true, are meant to keep us safe, but end up as
Little Red Riding Hood.
Little Red Riding Hood.
Like that whole fable was created to say, like, if a little girl doesn't listen and she veers off the path, she's not only going to hurt herself, she's going to hurt her Grammy.
Can you believe that? Like, what stories about boys were like that? I can't even think of one. I can think of boys lying, like the
Jack
whole
and Jill,
boy
maybe?
Who cried wolf.
I don't know. But you don't know.
Why is That's she following true. Him?
You know what? People need to comment. So comment on this episode if you could tell us a nursery rhyme or an old story where like a boy gets in as much trouble as Little Red Riding Hood. Because I want to hear that.
There's a lot of stories like that to keep you small and keep you safe. I bet you could look at a lot of things. Yeah. I mean, Rumpelstiltskin, she made a negotiation to give away her firstborn child. How dare she?
Never because negotiate with terrorists.
No, here you go. No, look at Rumpelstiltskin. She needed to earn money. And so she said she could spin straw into gold, because she needed to earn a living. But the only way she could earn a living was if she gave up her child.
Yeah.
Like what deep-seated society, like norms are put into us.
And we choose to tell these to our children as bedtime stories. It is very odd. It is very odd.
If when you see it, you're like, that's messed up. That's messed up.
Yeah. But okay.
No wonder we have all these issues.
But I digress. All right. So really quick, we're going to run over a couple of signs. So in case you're listening to this episode and you're not quite sure if you fall into this category of parenting through fear, parenting through anxiety, or you think you are, but you like to hear that confirmation just to know for sure. I'm one of those people. I pretty much know things, but I'm like, I still want to see if I can check off all these things just to know.
Well, it's also a form of connection. If you know that this is a pretty normal thing and it happens to so many people and you are not odd, that is even more reason to like go in the direction to try to change it, because you're like, oh, there's a fix for this. I can go like talk about it.
There is a fix. So let's start with our signs. Like what is the first sign that you might be parenting through fear?
If you're trying to shield your child from things, to avoid negative situations, like you're trying to keep them away from parties or something where you feel something bad will happen, or you don't want them to go to a certain activity because you've heard that that activity can cause injuries, like trampoline parks, for example,
or bike rides.
like or bike rides or bike rides or like climbing up on something and you're like, no, get down. Like, yeah, those kind of behaviors too. Although some of those things are, I mean, they happen. Accidents happen. I remember, I think of that thing about get down from it. Eric was climbing up on the front of our house and he was just walking around. He fell into the bushes with sticks and he avoided his eye by this like smidge, like a hair. It could have been really, really bad, but that was a rare incident. And you know what? He's much more balanced.
Careful now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, when you were talking about the whole bike riding thing, I thought for sure you were going to say you were concerned about him getting hurt because that boy has broken more bones than Camden has.
He has. But another thing that's interesting is, I don't know if I've told you this, but so I'm pretty klutzy. I run into walls. I injure myself in really bizarre, strange ways, like not normal ways people injure themselves. Joanne, how did that happen? Kind of injure yourself. My parents padded all the furniture when I was younger. I see pictures of padding on every single piece of furniture in their house, every sharp corner, every hard edge of a couch. Everything really? Was padded. And my sister, they didn't pad it. And she actually, she's not as klutzy as I am. She doesn't hurt herself in weird ways. She hurts herself in ways that like, you're like, yeah, I can understand how that happened. Kind
of like
thing.
That couch came out of nowhere. It just jumped right in my path.
Yeah. I was walking through the living room one time when I was a kid and I stepped on something. I wasn't looking where I was going. And I looked down and it was my mom's hummingbird ornament that had fallen off of the entertainment center. And the hummingbird pierced my toe. It was going in one side and going out the other. Because I didn't have very good body awareness. But that's one of the things when your parent through when you're fearful of something, you don't let your kids develop those mechanisms to give them protection when they get older.
Because they have to have some experiences to learn how things will actually happen. Because if I get, like you just said, like if we're always avoiding it and shielding them, then they're going to think that there's nothing bad that can happen. So
Then stuff happens that you're like, what was that?
I know, right? Okay, so the second sign is that you quickly move from unlikely situations that are a possibility to a probability. And we were talking about that earlier. That's where it's like, okay, so it's possible that my kid could go to the park while I know one thing I used to do. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I used to go to the dog park back when I lived in my old neighborhood. And adjacent to the dog park was a kid's park. So I remember my kids had to beg me, and it took me months to be okay with them not having to stand around at the dog park and like watch all the dogs, because I wouldn't let them pet other people's dogs because I was also afraid they'd get bit. And it probably is a decent
Which is a safe
thumb.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Dogs are very untrustworthy.
Probably a decent
thing. Having one
thumb.
Myself.
Yeah. But it took me months to let them go play at the playground where I could visibly see them. Because I thought it was a probability, not a possibility, but a probability that someone would kidnap them and take them away at the park. Even though they were no more than 100 feet away from me, I could see them the whole time. Yeah, like you go from that situation where you start thinking that what you see in the news is definitely a more than 50% chance it's going to happen to your kids.
Mm-hmm.
That is where you're kind of in a not so great place. There.
No, and it gets really scary. And I have those feelings all the time that I constantly have to work through.
Like, I tell yourself, this isn't logical.
Convinced everyone will get into a car accident when I'm like, oh, my husband's not texting me. Oh, have to check Google Maps. Look at the traffic. It's what I do.
And then it's exhausting.
Like how we all have, and we have trackers on our phone. Like, I'm tracked by my family and you're tracked by your family.
That was the funniest thing I remember. And you know why I'm tracked by my family, if you remember me telling you why? It all got started when I was newly divorced and I started dating. My mom was convinced somebody was going to kidnap me and I was going to end up like dead in a field somewhere. So she was like, please just put this tracker on your, please join our Life 360 circle so we know where you are. And I'm like, fine.
Yeah, but it just makes my parents feel better. My mom and dad, it just makes them feel better that they know where I am. So I'm like, okay. Right. I'll do it.
Right. There are varying degrees, but again, like this, the point of this is that if it's affecting how you parent, that's where that line is being crossed.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
So what is the third sign? And we see this one a lot.
You don't have your own life outside of your kids' problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really hard if you feel like your kid's drama is your drama. If their like fight with their BFF becomes all-encompassing and affects your life as well, it could be a sign that, you know, you're parenting through fear.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of us struggle with that. We kind of get wrapped up into what happens with our kids so much so that like you said, their problems become our problems.
Yeah. And which is a hard place to be because we have enough problems. We don't need more problems on our plate.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we do not. So, all right. So we've established now like some of those things are things that you will likely see or be able to check off as, yeah, I do that. And if you are doing that, you are more than likely parenting from a place of fear and anxiety, which isn't healthy. It's not healthy for you because it drives you bonkers.
It causes a lot of stress.
It's emotionally exhausting. Mm-hmm. But for our kids too, doesn't it make them have more anxiety? Because then all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, all these bad things are going to happen to me if I go out and I say hi to strangers, so I can't. I shouldn't be doing that.
Exactly. And it's just anxiety talking. And it's so important that we're having this discussion about anxiety because I feel like people think it's real. Like what you think in your head, you make seem real when it's not. When it's something that we have control of, even though it may not seem we have control of, it's like a process that we can work through where we would have better control of our thoughts, which then lead to our feelings, which then lead to our actions. So what's the first thing to do if you know that you're parenting through fear, Bray?
The first thing you can do is just, like we said earlier, acknowledge it and accept that you are fearful. Because once you acknowledge that you're dealing with fear and that you've got some anxiety and that it's affecting how you do things with your kids, then you can actually start working on it and coming up with a more positive thought process and being more aware of like, oh, perhaps that rule that they're never allowed to be more than 10 feet away from me, maybe that's a little bit overbearing. Maybe they are 15 and 16. Perhaps they can do more on their own.
Yeah.
I'm or joking. Even hopefully like, I got a laugh out of some people.
Hopefully 15 or 60. Yes.
I know. They're 15 or 60. They can walk more than 10 feet away from me. We'll see.
I can totally do this. Yeah. Or like if it's even making like your stress level rise too.
Yeah.
If you like like me, I knew I was fearful. I knew I had all this anxiety. I was managing it pretty well with like not the rules, but it was causing me a lot of extreme pain. So if it's causing you extreme pain, there is help for it. There is help. I go to therapy. I have a great nurse practitioner psychiatrist now, have some great anxiety meds that are working wonders and controlling my bodily reactions to thoughts and events, which just make life a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So and there's help.
Before you take any path on like what to do, you have to acknowledge it first.
Mm-hmm. You have to acknowledge it.
Well, like you said, there are so many tools out there that can help you deal with it. But that first step is acknowledging that it's there. Mm-hmm. So what's the second step, Joanne? What's the second thing they can do?
So this is about, you know, taking little small steps and exposing yourself to your fears so you can conquer them. This is actually like, there's some psychology basis in this and called exposure therapy, where you just keep introducing yourself to the situation. If your child wants to ride their bike around the block, let them ride their bike around the block. And maybe the first time you could see them. And maybe the second time, like it's supposed to be 5 minutes. And maybe the next time it's 10 minutes and just gradually increase it until you're at the point where like, okay, nothing bad happened. I'm okay with this.
Yeah. Like we're not saying that anybody has to let their kids do something that makes them so stressed out and so scared and so fearful or to do anything reckless by any means. But when you realize that you have an overwhelming fear that is causing you to possibly, again, parent from a place of fear, not parent from a place of realistic concern. Is that a good way to put it, maybe?
Yeah, I would say that's a good way to put it.
Yeah. So like if you're not parenting from a place of realistic concern and you know that you're overdoing it, you are over the edge, you have jumped the shark, you are just past it. Take those little steps. If you're afraid of the trampoline park, take them and let them like go on the kiddie one and see. And if they don't break any arms or legs, then great. Maybe we can do the next one.
Something else that really helps is to pay attention to what you're saying to yourself and your self-talk. Yeah. And this comes from Brené Brown, actually, that a lot of times our fear, we think our fear means that something bad is going to happen. But what our fear actually means is that at that moment, we're feeling vulnerable. We love our kids so, so much that we are feeling vulnerable to losing them. And focusing on that love for your kids and that feeling of vulnerability and identifying what that is makes you more able to take that step of exposing yourself to your fears.
It does. And actually, that is fantastic because that leads us right into, that solidifies our third thing that you can do, which is to talk yourself through situations instead of assuming that you know what's going to happen or assuming that you know exactly what your kids are thinking. Because part of this parenting through fear too is being afraid that your kids are like doing crazy stuff in their head, that they're thinking of stupid, crazy things.
Yes.
Right?
It is. And know like you're not alone in this either. We talk to so many women who join us in Balance, who come into Balance having a lot of fears about their kids and a lot of fears that their kids won't end up okay or won't end up responsible. And through like working with us and working with the group, they're able to master a simple method of communication that we teach in Calm and Happy Parenting. And they're also able to figure out that where these fears are coming from, what self-talk they're telling themselves, and just having this more even, calm state because they're looking at the thoughts in their heads and thinking through them.
Right? Because I think something that you said, a lot of us, we don't process what our own concerns are. Mm-hmm. Right? Like we assume a lot of times, assuming happens so often in parenting. We assume that we know what everybody else is thinking, not out of a bad way, just out of experience. We're like, listen, I've been on this earth 6 times as long as you have. I don't know, whatever. So I have way more experience than you do. I know what's going to happen next. And sometimes we're right, but sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we assume we know what our kids are thinking because, you know, we know our kids, but we don't always know our kids.
We don't. And sometimes they're thinking through situations much better than we give them credit for. Yeah. Like one of the things we teach first in Calm and Happy Parenting is about drilling down and finding out your kid's point of view. And sometimes I get really scared about a situation. For instance, my son, when he started walking home from the bus, and I'm like, okay, Well, tell me what you would do if somebody like approached you. And we talked through it.
Problem solving.
He had some ideas there, and some other things were like, okay, well, here's what you should actually do. And here's that. But just talking through it and seeing their reasoning process and giving them those skills for problem solving makes me so much more confident as a parent, like giving up that responsibility to him than it would if I had just been like, nope, I'm there. And it also frees up a lot of my time too, because I don't have to go and pick him up from school. He walks home from us.
I know, right? And I mean, so the problem solving is fantastic on two levels. You can do it at where you also have the conversation in a safe place at home, you're role playing it, but also letting them have the opportunity to problem solve themselves. Because if our kids are constantly knowing or waiting for us to swoop in and fix the situation or to swoop in and fix what all's going on, they're never really going to learn how to problem solve. And isn't our main goal, all of us, is for our kids to be happy and healthy?
And, for sure.
And to be able to do things that they want to be able to do, to have that freedom, to have that self-confidence to do things on their own, which they'll never get if we're always there and fixing it and meddling with it.
So takeaway point for this episode, notice if you're fearful and then take these steps to try to at least manage the fear and give more responsibility to your kids.
Yes.
For sure. So remember, the best mom is a happy mom. Take care of you, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks for stopping by.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.